Welcome to the Dark Star Adventure Cast, where the stars are cold, the void is endless, and dangers lurk in every shadow. Out here, trust is a gamble, and survival is never guaranteed. On tonight's Adventure Cast...
Oh, trust me, the pleasure is all mine. Thorn Draxus at your service.
Slag, sucker, I told you to keep your mouth shut.
I also did have a whole lot of meatloaf, so I might not be at my fighting fittest at this very moment.
100 per rock? Why don't you chop off my other leg and replace it, Doc? That's a ridiculous price.
So sit back and enjoy. This is the Dark Star Adventure Cast. 2 months have passed since our last episode. The crew spent that time on the ship, traveling, hopping from system to system, planet to planet. They are en route to the hidden Prometheon space station, each for their own personal reasons. Some for loot, some for vengeance, and others hoping against hope to find something they lost long ago. Crew, it's been a while since you've stopped, and your ship, the Scapegoat, is in dire need of maintenance. You've just arrived in a new system, the third this month, when your fuel alarm goes off and a dozen angry indicators switch on, glowering at the ship's pilot, Robert Ross.
Captain, remember when you told me to let you know when that fuel light came on?
Yeah.
Well, it's on.
Rusted all. I don't even know what system we're in. Felix, where are we?
Let me see. System's called Anagris. Looks like there's just this one notable planet. A little desert world called Pare. Not much there to speak of, but there is a refueling station for some deep space haulers just across its gravity well.
Captain, I got a lot of lights on up here. We may need some maintenance, too.
Yeah, I can second that, Cap. The engine was looking a bit dodgy these past couple of weeks, so any extra maintenance we can do would be great for the ship, and honestly for us, too. Looks like they've also got some showers, a caff, even some bunks if we want to sleep somewhere else for a night or two.
Jeez, you guys, we're not made of credits.
I mean, Thorny, this is not some high-end resort. We could probably make do.
Haley walks onto the bridge wearing fist wraps, dripping with sweat.
If we don't stop and get some real food and drink, I swear to the stars I'm going to snap.
Glare over at Haley. Please, tell me you weren't boxing the support beams in the cargo hold again. You know what a bitch of a time I've had trying to straighten those out.
It's either that or your head, Felix.
Oh my god, every time. You know what? Fine. Hey, Robert, you know that orange juice you were saving? Well, guess what? Haley drank it.
Oh, hell no. Haley, you said you hadn't seen it.
Slag, sucker, I told you to keep your mouth shut.
I was saving that god dang orange juice.
You're dead, Felix.
Dr. Voss lights up on your console, Felix, and says,
I'd like to see you try, Haley.
Yeah,
let's go, Haley.
I made me. Like,
you know what? I need a thorn juice
every day.
I need a electrolyte.
Damn it, you guys, be quiet. It's settled. We need a break. We can't keep staying cooped up like this, and we can't keep limping through space like this anyway. Lock it in. Let's go and get this taken care of.
Captain, you took my drink. You want to make that right?
Robert, lock it in.
Bobby, here are the coordinates.
Yeah, I got it. Plotting the course.
You approach the refueling station, which blasts its presence across the void of space with an obnoxious neon sign that reads, Scrapjack Refueling and Grub. Through the angled windows of the station, you spot other travelers, lounging, drinking, sleeping in chairs and cots. It's an interstellar truck stop, baby. Out front, there are 10 landing pads, two of which are open, and the other 8 spots are ships much like yours. None of them worse, many of them better. You spot the airlock on approach, across the lot. Robert, you settle the Scapegoat into her berth, and the crew, you suit up. You'll have to hoof it across hard vacuum. Clipping into the safety line, you take a vac side stroll, straight into the lock, and start the cycle. Your ears pop and you unsuit as the inside door opens, revealing a security station with a bored-looking guard behind bulletproof glass. A short hallway leads to a locked door, which, presumably, the guard will open for you.
Now remember, everybody, we're here for maintenance, some light food, and rest. I don't want to find out that everybody spent a fortune on nonsense when we get back to the ship.
Yep. Maintenance, food, rest, and death sticks. Got it.
Most of those things, but probably not all of them. Right.
I know what I need for the engine. Yeah, and to, you know, reinforce those struts that keep getting bent in.
Oh, we're out of juice.
The security guard is waving you forward.
I walk up to him.
He presses a button and he speaks through a speaker and says,
"Any weapons on you today?"
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm glad you answered honestly. I scanned you in the airlock. Walk back to your ship, leave your weapons there, cycle back through, and I'd be happy to let you in. This is a no weapons area.
No weapons, really? Wow, this is getting rare these days.
Well, we're out in deep space. We have to police ourselves.
I kind of glance at Haley out of the corner of my eye, then I look at Robert, and I shrug with a smile on my face, as if to indicate, well, we've got her, so it's fine.
Just stick close to me. We're good.
So you guys go back to the scapegoat. Do you try to keep anything on you or just leave it all there?
I'm just leaving my pistol.
I leave all my stuff.
I leave it all. I can hit these people with a bench.
So everyone leaves everything, it sounds like.
Now, I don't want to do this too many more times. This is going to get silly, but I'm definitely taking a knife. I hope y'all are taking some hacking gear. Do we want to sneak, see how active these sensors are? Maybe get at least one firearm through them?
I don't want to cause any problems, Robert.
This doesn't look like it's the thing. It's just a truck stop in the middle of space, man. We don't need to get crazy here.
I really want a shower.
Let's get in, guys. I do take my knife, though.
You take your knife. Okay. Is anyone else taking any weaponry at all?
It's my brain.
I'm just going to flex.
It's your brain. You stick your skull into the thing. <that goes off. laughs> Don't stick your head in there too many times. It's highly radioactive.
I know. I'm trying something.
So you're all on a scapegoat, just to recap, leaving all of your weapons behind, except for Robert Ross, who grabs his brass knuckle knife and slips it into his boot without anyone seeing. And then you suit up, clip into the safety line, and make your way back across hard vacuum to the airlock. The airlock cycles. It opens.
Weapon detected. You guys might have missed one.
I turn back and I glare at Haley and
wasn't
Robert.
Me.
I mean, I might have brought a palette knife, just something for a little activity, but this is hardly a weapon. I pick my teeth with this thing.
He uses that thing to eat.
It's standard issue.
The officer just glares.
No weapons allowed.
Come on, Robert. I really just want to lay down in a bed.
Can he leave it with you?
Absolutely not. Leave it on your ship.
We don't have time for this, Robert. Please just go put it back.
Yeah. I am not the one slowing us down here, Thorne. I am not the one slowing us down here.
You literally are, Robert. You literally are the one slowing us down.
It's the damn security guard.
He still rules the station, man.
He's just doing his job.
You sound like a man who needs some orange juice.
Wow.
Sir, can I go? Can I go? Do I have...
Robert, we'll meet you inside.
Yeah.
Robert, all right.
Once your friend Robert goes and cycles the airlock, yes, the three of you may enter. But as long as he is here with a weapon, I cannot open the secure door.
I put my hands on my hips and look at him.
No, I left like 5 minutes ago.
Oh, good. I was going to tell him I was going to have an orange juice waiting for him.
Okay, so, Robert, you suit back up, cycle the airlock, and go and take a stroll through the back of space once again. Meanwhile, Thorne, Haley, Felix, the security guard, buzzes you in, and you make your way into the main lobby of the truck stop. This is an area that is next to the cafeteria. It has a lot of seating, card tables, coffee, an area to just like chill. And then off to the left, there's a lounge and observation deck that overlooks the parking lot. So you can take a look at your ship and see like how the refueling's going. And then next to the main lobby is the cafeteria, where there's just a whole smattering of tables. A lot of people are sitting at different tables eating some great smelling hot food, which is something you kind of ran out of a little while ago. To the south of you, there's a secure door. You have no idea what's on the other side of that. To the north of you, there's a door that says admin and another one that says medical bay. And you know that somewhere in this complex are also toilets, showers, dormitories, as well as a place to put in an order for maintenance on your ship.
All right. So everybody remembers what we're here for, right?
Yeah, I gotta figure out if I can get all these supplies here I need. The engine does need a little bit of TLC.
Give me a list, Felix. I'll see what I can do.
Hold on. All right, I just sent it to your pad. One job done for old Felix.
So where's Felix going?
Felix is going to go over to the cafeteria to to get some real food because it's been a minute.
Okay. Where's Haley going?
Haley is going straight to the shower.
And Thorn?
I would like to try to figure out where to get these parts that Felix needs or how to put in the appropriate orders.
Okay. You find out from the security officer that you should go to the admin office to put in any fuel or maintenance orders.
Great. That's where I'm going then.
Okay. And Robert, you are taking the hike back at the moment, so we'll catch up with you in a moment. Okay. Thorn, you walk into the admin office, and inside you see a serious-looking woman with an iron bun pulled tight in the back of her head, practically stretching her face back. She looks very severe as she looks up at you over her tiny librarian glasses. Which ship is yours?
It's that merchant-class hauler, designation Scapegoat. It's the one with the burnt-out cargo bay and the hull plating held on with hot glue and a prayer.
Okay, I see you as being in D1. Okay, you are in spot D1. What do you need, fuel?
Fuel and the parts from this list.
Okay, we have one mechanic's bay. It's currently in use. You are third in line after that one comes out. It's likely to be a few days. Now, the extent of what you need will put you up for free for 2 nights.
Oh, Felix is right. This isn't so bad at all.
But you have to pay for your own food. You're welcome to go back to your ship at any time and get your own food. But you can stay in the visitor dorms for free. I saw 4 crew members come in and 1 go back to your ship. Are all 4 staying in the dorms?
I believe so.
She gives you 4 key cards. And she says, this will let you in and out of the visitor dorms. Do not share them with anyone else. If we find that you do, you will be immediately asked to leave.
Fair enough.
And she kind of gives you like a good look and then takes her glasses off and says, where are you from, traveler?
Well, pretty far off. Planet called Zephyrus.
Zephyrus. I have heard of Zephyrus. I heard that the people from there are known for their beauty. And she gives you an up and down.
I blush. Oh, well, thank you.
My name's Yana. It's a pleasure.
Oh, trust me, the pleasure is all mine. Thorn Draxus at your service.
My, my, my. I'm off at 7. Meet me in the cafeteria.
Won't be a problem.
He passes you a flip book, and when you take it, you realize it's a coupon book, and there's like 50 free meals in there. Food's on us.
Well, that's very kind of you. I look forward to our discussion.
Enjoy yourself.
I'm sure I will.
And she watches you as you leave the admin office.
I make sure that my butt is like, you know...
You're doing that thing where you hitch your hips back and forth so your butt really sways.
Exactly. Put 1 foot to the other side of the other.
Walk, you walk like a cat.
Oh my God.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you're doing the full like strut. Haley, you go to the toilet shower area and you realize you can access the toilets but not the showers. And when you come back out, Thorn is there distributing cards to everyone. Robert, you are just cycling back through the airlock. Haley, you're able to get a card, which allows you to go back in and use it to access the showers. It's the same card you'll use to go into the visitor dorms.
Thanks.
Felix, you get your card just as you're leaving ordering at the counter. It was a easy experience. No one gave you the up and down, so no role-playing needed.
What a run me.
They charged your card, but then you go back up and you give them a coupon and they refund it.
Oh, nice.
Oh, okay.
Thorn.
Glad you didn't have to pay for that. Look at this coupon book.
I look at my plate of food that, while it looks better than the processed stuff we've been eating on the ship, does not look super appealing. I'm also glad I didn't have to pay for this.
I will say, you ordered what you thought you could afford. There is better stuff, but it's not like, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it's not the Continental at the Marriott, you know. But it still gets pretty good. So you take a seat and you begin eating. Thorn, are you getting some food as well?
Yeah, I'm going to get the most delicious thing that these coupons will get me.
Okay, yeah. So, meatloaf.
I'm not spending a dime.
Nope. You get 2 meatloafs. You ask if they have sides, and they say a smaller meatloaf.
2 out of 3 ain't bad.
Robert Ross, you are cycling back through the airlock. This time, do you have weapons on you?
Nope.
Okay. It opens up, and you walk up to the security booth, and he presses the button to talk to you, and he says,
so, no weapons this time.
You know, I didn't have any weapons last time, at least according to me, but nope, not according to you this time, Pear.
Huh. Where'd you serve?
You know, here and there. What about you?
Here and there.
Yeah.
Corpo or government?
Started gov, Man, sold my soul, if you know what I mean.
All too well, brother.
He buzzes you in.
Thank you, sir. Hey, can I get your name, by the way?
Lieutenant Grand, but you can call me Dan.
Dan, the man Grand. I love it. Well, you know what? Water under the bridge, brother. Now, can I ask you, anything fun to get into around here? Is it just another way station?
We got some okay food. We got some okay drink. But if you pop over to the med bay and you ask for something to help with your mental health, there's a few things you can find to shorten your stay.
Well, thank you, Dan, the man Grand. I'll be looking for you.
He gives you a wink and presses the buzzer again.
I walk over to the cafeteria. Well, they finally let me through. What they got good to eat up in here?
Meatloaf,
I say with my mouthful as I hand you a coupon for some meatloaf and your key.
Oh, hell yeah. Okay, you know what, Captain? We good. Let me get some of that meatloaf.
So, Thorn, you said it's going to be a few days before we can get into that maintenance bay?
Yeah, there's a few ships in front of us, so we don't have much choice but to wait.
All right, well, when it gets to be time, I'm going to want to talk to the mechanics. I don't want just anybody going over the scapegoat. I want to be part of that solution. So you just make sure that that can happen, okay? You take care of any paperwork that's got to happen so I can be part of that team. They're not touching the ship without me there.
Oh, don't you worry. We'll get you in there.
All right. And hey, listen, no hard feelings, anybody, but I am sleeping on the ship. I am not a fan of the dormitory-style bunks, and plus I don't want to leave Alara alone for too long. Oh, shit, Froggy! Did we even tell him we're here?
I may have strategically left it out. I don't want anybody causing any trouble. Let's just leave him be. If he stays on the ship, it shouldn't be a problem.
Yeah, I can go back over there. I give him a couple of meaningless tasks and just, you know, lie to him about where we are. Although a shower might do him good.
Yeah, I mean, so you're telling me you just left his sticky ass sitting in the cargo bay doing nothing but waiting for us?
I think he was playing with your Lokipon cards, Robert.
Oh, God damn it.
Cut to Froggy in the cargo hold just going, gotta catch him on. And he's just getting him sticky. He's like, oh, that one ripped. And he just throws it to the side.
He's licking his finger every time he goes to a new card in the deck.
He's like, oh, I don't like the way that guy looks. And he just crumples it up and throws it away.
There's a very realistic possibility I murder Froggy.
He started off as like a lovable companion, but like in game time, it's been like 20 minutes we've had with him, but we've been with him for months in the ship now, and everybody's ready to just murder him.
Every game needs an NPC to shit on.
It brings us together somehow.
Yeah. But yeah, so before I head back to the ship, though, I am going to check out the med bay. My leg's been acting up these past couple of weeks, and you know I really could use a little bit of pain medication, so I'm going to see what they might have on offer.
Let me escort you there, Felix.
No, Robert, you just got your meatloaf. You just sit down, you enjoy it. I'll be fine. I'm a big boy.
And I just walk over to him, put my arm around him, and say, ask him about your mental health.
Okay, listen, I know we've been fighting a lot. Maybe my temper's been a bit short, but I'm actually doing okay mental health-wise.
Okay, I'm just telling you. I know the kind of person you are.
Okay, well, next time I want your advice, Robert, I'll ask for it, but thanks. And I move myself out of his arm and walk over to the med bay.
Robert, what was that all about? What were you talking about? I don't want you getting Felix in any nonsense with, I know what you like, ask about the secret sauce. What did you hear about this? What are you getting him into?
Oh, you know, I'm just trying to help him out. Hey, I mean, or get him into a little bit of trouble. He's been kind of up my ass.
The last thing we need is Felix getting all loopy when we need him the most. You got to make sure to keep him out of that crap.
Yeah, but it keeps him out of my hair.
Keeps him out of everything. And then I'm just going to storm away and let you eat by yourself.
Where do you go, Thorn?
Thorn's going to go to the lounge/observation deck and just look out the window at his ship and kind of fume a little bit.
Waiting for his hot date.
Yep, T-minus 3 hours. Felix, you make your way into the med bay where you find a middle-aged woman with a bob cut wearing a doctor's smock. She looks up from her terminal. Yes?
Hey, Doc. How's it going? I just docked here, and I've got some pain in my leg, and I'm really just looking for you know, something to take the edge off, something to put my mind at ease to kind of separate me from that pain for a little while, if you know what I mean.
I see. Hop up on the table.
We don't really need to do an examination. I've got some credits here. You could just, you know, what's the best thing that you got for me? We could just do it that way.
I have to scan you.
There's no way around this.
It's procedure. You walked into this office, you must be scanned for spores.
Oh my, spores? Woman, what the hell are you talking about? Ain't no goddamn spores in my body. I say as I sit on the table.
I have a doctorate from a prestigious space station university, and my name is Dr. Speth, not woman. And yes, I have to scan you for spores. There was a deadly outbreak of spores in this system just 6 months ago.
Well, it seems like you should probably scan people when they come in instead of whenever they wander into this med bay, doctor.
I used to, but I was told not to do that anymore. They called it harassment after a while, scaring customers off. But I control this room, and when you walk into this room, I'm going to scan you for spores. So sit on the table.
Scan away. Scan away.
She takes out a, like, 1 yard long UV light, essentially, and she runs it along your body as you're laying there, back and forth twice. Then she goes over to her terminal and busily keeps tapping as you're laying there just staring up at the ceiling for minute after minute.
Any spores I need to be worried about?
No spores that I can detect, but what in the void happened to your leg?
Oh, yeah, I don't have one, you know, that I was born with. This is, I wrap on my metallic leg. Yeah, this is courtesy of the asteroid fucking military geniuses on New Lucerne. They couldn't figure out how to get a good prosthetic leg on me, so they strapped this monstrosity to me, basically welded it to my skin and muscle, and now it hurts basically every moment of every day. So yeah, that's why I came in here looking for some goddamn meds.
Okay, calm down. Calm down. Right. I don't have to treat anyone that acts like an asshole. You realize that, right?
I'm sorry, it's a touchy subject. It's not you. It's these vax suckers I've been stuck on a ship with for the past couple of months. They've just been grabbing me up the wall. I feel like I'm going crazy, you know?
Buddy, do you detect anything weird about this?
About what?
No, not you. Buddy!
Yes, doctor.
Do you detect anything weird about any of this? Can I prescribe this man pain medication, or do you detect that he's lying?
I am not outfitted with lie detection algorithm. However, I can't corroborate his story based on the scans that you have provided.
Okay, thanks, buddy. Okay, Mr., what's your name?
You call me Felix.
Okay, I can give you some pain meds if you've got the creds.
Yeah, what are we talking about here?
There are no laws here, but I do have a limited supply.
Oh, yeah.
But I do have a limited supply. If we're talking about pain management, I can give you pain meds. But if you are also dealing with some post-traumatic stress and anger issues due to what's happened in your life, I have other things I can also prescribe.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a lot. What do you got? You got moon rocks?
I have some moon rocks.
You got afterburner?
I do have some afterburner.
Oh, all right. Yeah, because I'm looking for something to just, you know, detach my brain from reality for a little bit.
I'm going to give you 100 per rock.
100 per rock? All right, why don't you chop off my other leg and replace it, Doc? That's a ridiculous price.
You think you're on Polyfin? Do you think you're in the inner systems? We are out there. You know how long it even takes me to get a moon rock out here?
Oh, so you just get to extort everybody for whatever you want. Man, what kind of hustle are you running here?
Welcome to capitalism, kid. This is your first time out in deep space. It's 100 per rock, and it's 200 per afterburn. If you want something cheaper, I got death sticks. If you're a little crybaby about it, I got death sticks for you.
Wow. What school did you say you went to again? The school of being a giant asshole?
No, it's the University of FU. Do you want the stuff or not?
Yeah, I'll take a fracking moon rock.
Okay, that'll be 100. And do you also want the pain medication for your little leg?
No, I don't need the pain medication for my leg. I'll just take the rock.
Okay, one rock, 100 creds. Enjoy 6 hours of bliss. And she slaps it into your hand and she takes the creds.
Meanwhile, on the observation deck, Thorn is like, I sense credits are being misappropriated.
And then he looks at his watch. T minus 2 hours and 30 minutes till thorny time.
He does not call it thorny time.
That's what Felix called it.
I'm feeling thorny. Okay, that exchange of credits is happening while Thorn is sensing a disturbance in the credit force.
In the blockchain.
While the blockchain, while Haley is sensing a orange juice meatloaf disturbance from within the showers. And Robert is in the cafeteria just housing loaf after loaf, using coupon after coupon.
I only gave him a limited number of coupons. I ain't letting him use the whole book.
Good choice. That was smart.
He somehow talked his way into extra loaves of meat.
There are a few of them stuck together by mistake. So,
with the four of you in four disparate locations, each enjoying in your own way the comforts of a deep space truck stop, you hear from the security station, "All right, now, everybody down!" And a shotgun goes off into the air, and everyone screams. Thorn, you look out into the main lobby, and you see everyone hit the deck. And striding out from the security station, you see a line of men and women wearing gray and black mottled robes, all carrying weapons. "Down on the ground, I said!" Boom! A shotgun butt hits the back of a man's head, and he falls to the ground unconscious. What do you do, Thorn?
No, for the love of... So much for no weapons. And I scan the main lobby area for Haley or Robert while I kind of like stay hidden in the lounge.
You look out over the main lobby and you see none of your friends. Last you knew, Robert was in the cafeteria, just on the other side of that eastern wall.
Okay, I get down low in the lobby so that I'm more or less complying. And then I use my comms to call out for at least Haley, probably Robert as well. "Hey, you two, we got a situation out here."
Felix and Robert, you both heard the shotgun go off and all of the shouting, and now you hear your calm crackle to life with Thorne's voice. "Haley, you're in the showers singing a song and enjoying life. You don't have your calm, and you didn't hear no shotgun."
I have hot water. What can I say? This is, like, literally everything I've been dreaming of for weeks.
It's the dream.
It's fantastic.
But out in reality... So, Haley, you're just finishing up your shower. So you have a rude awakening when you exit the showers soon. Felix and Robert, Thorn has just called out to you and said there's a situation, which you can already very plainly hear for yourselves. What would you like to do?
I get down. I start moving to the showers. I over my communicator. "Oh, Thorn, we're going to need to know how many you got. What are they carrying? Give us locations. Over and out."
How many do I see in the lobby?
At the angle you're at, in the observation deck lounge area, you see 12, but you get the distinct impression there may be more over by the security area.
"We're talking about a lot, Robert. I see at least 10. They got shotguns, maybe other weapons as well. They came from the security area. Might be an inside thing. I don't know."
"Man, this is not what I needed right now. Doc, what's going on?"
"Hi, buddy, what's going on?"
"Doctor, it appears as though armed assailants have infiltrated the truck stop. They have an array of weapons, shotguns, laser pistols, even an old Magnum. I count 15. Unfortunately, security officer Dan Grand has been rendered unconscious. Other security has not responded to the scene. They are congregating in the main lobby. They are beginning to fan out."
"Buddy, can we secure this door so they can't gain access to the med bay?"
"There are regulations in place that disallows me from operating any door or systems within the truck stop."
The doctor walks over and just flicks a lock. He's like, "You didn't see that there's a lock on the door. Just lock the door. I'm sorry. You didn't take that rock yet, did you?"
"No, I didn't take the rock yet.
Oh, thank God.
I gotta prep it first. I put it in my pouch for later."
"Don't take it."
"Now, buddy, do you have access to the whole stop?"
"I have access to all the unsecure areas of the truck stop."
"All right. Do you have an interface somewhere where I can gain access to your root systems?"
"A terminal to your left that you didn't notice previously because it was off and kind of hidden behind a plant blinks on."
"Excellent. All right. Okay, Thorn, Robert, Haley, if you're there, I've got access to the station's AI. I'm going to try to get it to sync into our comms and gain access to more of the secure parts of the system so we can see what we're dealing with here. But we got 15 people here. The security guard is down. They've got an array of weapons. I'm securing the med bay for the moment."
Thorn, in the main lobby, you see that they have 5 people on the floor. They have 3 people standing up, and they are beginning to bring them towards the observation deck. In the main lobby, the remainder of whoever these people are, these assailants, are setting up an odd technological device that looks like a 5-foot-tall antenna.
So there are the assailants, like, alone coming into the observation deck, or are they bringing, like, hostage-type people in here with them?
There are 3 assailants, and there are 3 hostages.
Okay. On the comms, I say to Felix, Felix, it looks like they're setting up some kind of weird antenna in the lobby. Not sure what it's for. Not sure how much longer I'm going to be able to be on comms either.
You're cut off by one of the assailants talking in the lobby saying, "Welcome, all. I'm sure you must be scared, for you are still tethered to this reality. Emotions, life, they are holding you back in a world that is but a dream. You haven't yet touched the void, but do not worry. Some of you will become untethered and will join us in brotherhood. Some of you will become great servants of the void and become unhallowed and rise in the ascension, which we will all partake in at the end of the life in this galaxy. The void has cometh to this small sector, and we are the harbingers that will bring it." And at that moment, the three, I suppose we can now call them cultists, dragging 3 hostages, move their way into the observation deck and immediately spot you.
Yeah, I just have my hands up. I'm already down, and I just say, yeah, I don't say anything. I just show them my hands until they say something.
One of the cultists, a bald, pale man with piercing blue eyes, abnormally tall and gangly, kind of shuffles towards you in his mottled black and gray robe, and he says, "Oh, another one. What joy. They weren't simply all in the main area. I suppose they would be scattered all about this truck stop. I suppose that's why Brother Halleck said to search everywhere. What a smart man. He is truly blessed by the void. Hello, how are you?"
Well, I was doing okay until a bunch of guys with guns came barging in, but what's this about a void?
Oh, well, I will assess your aptitude, and you will either become untethered or unhallowed. Both are a great blessing.
They sound intimidating.
Oh, they can both be quite painful, but that's all part of becoming one with the void. He helps you to your feet, and he holds onto your forearm, and he says, "I am Brother Tharn, Nesso Tharn. It is a pleasure to meet you. I'm excited to serve with you for the eons to come after the Great Ascension."
Yeah, I appreciate that, Tharn. It's Thorndrax is here, but listen, I'm actually in the middle of something, and I'm not sure I'm going to be able to join you on your ascension.
Oh, oops. That's not the way this works. Please sit down. There are many comfy chairs in here. And he arranges the other 3 hostages into chairs as well and kind of pushes you back into one.
Yeah, I sit in the chair. I don't want to get shot.
Brother Vox, Brother Kalo, please tell Great Brother Halleck that we have found an additional survivor. And the other 2 leave the room, leaving him with the 4 of you. And he has a laser pistol, not trained on you, but just at his side as he watches you carefully.
So my goal in this situation, I think, I don't know how I can potentially have an open calm that's not too obvious, but I kind of just want to keep this guy talking to me and hopefully in a way that the others could hear. So we can say that I'm just like, "Oh, you have a great brother, you know, where, what's the deal with that? Where is he? Where did you all come from?" So questions like that. I'm just going to keep peppering this guy so we don't have to keep the spotlight on me, but that's my intention.
Okay. So the comms are being completely taken up with you talking with Brother Tharn. So everyone's listening to the conversation with him and Brother Tharn in the background of everything else they're doing.
It's like walkie-talkie style, where if I have it open, nobody else can say anything.
They can say something, but Brother Tharn's going to hear it.
It's like a real bad podcast.
So, Haley, you are finishing up your shower.
Yep, I'm slapping my comms onto my wrist, my little prehistoric one.
Yeah, as you go back out of the shower area to, like, where there's benches and lockers, you start to hear that your comms are just kind of going. Like, your friends are super chatty. And at that moment, in a stealth crouch, Robert barges into the locker room and rushes up to you.
Robert, it seems like something very exciting is going on out there, but I need 5 more minutes. Seconds. 30 yeah. seconds.
Oh, just, I mean,
let me finish,
girl,
with my moment
not...
of peace.
We do not have whatever, time to exfoliate.
No, stop. Just let me finish getting dressed. Let me 30 seconds.
Yeah, we're at a full we need smashing mode. Please. No more moisturizer. We're in go mode, girl.
All right. I'm ready. Okay. Got all my stuff on. All right. Fill me in. What's going on?
Yeah, it looks like we have at least 15 assailants fully armed cultists. We got Thorn. I believe he's been taken captive. And we got Felix in the med bay. I don't know. He might be getting high.
Okay. Wow.
I also did have a whole lot of meatloaf, so I might not be at my fighting fittest at this very moment.
Fuck. The guns are back on the ship.
I'm not saying I told you so, but we're going to need to hopefully corner one of these guys. If we can get one of them, get the drop on them, maybe we can get a weapon going.
So what's it look like right outside the store?
You go up to the door and you kind of peek out and you can see the cafeteria, and people in the cafeteria have largely scattered. There's a couple people on the floor cowering behind seats. But when you walked through there earlier, there were at least 20 people. But now there's only like 4. You hear some shouting from the main lobby area, which you can't quite see. Even at your sharpest angle of looking out the door, maybe you can catch a couple bits of people moving back and forth. But what you can hear when you put the comms to the side, so you can't hear Thorn and Brother Tharn, Thorn and Tharn talking, classic, yeah. Thorn and Tharn just jabbering away. You hear in the main lobby the shouts of a man proclaiming that the void is here and ascension is coming, and is mere months left before the sector will succumb to the great unknown beyond. Across the way, you can see a door to the south, and past that door, a hallway. The door is wide open, and then you see another door directly across the hall that says freight storage on it. Other than that, nothing appears to be changed.
All right, Robert.
What are you thinking now? Are we going to lure somebody over here, or do we want to try to make a move for Thorn?
Where's Felix?
Med bay.
Okay, that was one door over. All right, get Felix. I think we should start there.
Yep. Quick and quiet.
Mm-hmm. We got this. I can sneak real well.
I was going to say, I think we try to be as stealthy as we can and move towards the med bay.
So you fully are dressed and you have your armor on and everything, and that's what you want. Okay.
Yep.
And Robert, are you leaving your armor on?
I'm not taking it off and taking a shower.
Is there any grease rolling, Robert?
Yeah, I mean, maybe.
Do you still have your afro, or have you given it up over the months in space?
It did get pretty greasy. There was a brief moment of insanity where I had cornrows, but at this point I'm back to the afro.
You should keep us apprised of all your hairstyle changes.
I will.
I'm going to expect a report.
I report on my desk once a month on what your hairstyle is. Hey, spacers. Thanks for cruising through the cosmos with us. If you want to go behind the airwaves and dive deeper into our universe, join our Patreon crew. You'll get ad-free early access to every episode, as well as a host of bonus content, including Star Master logs, what I'm planning, what I'm improvising, and what secrets are still waiting in the dark. Ooh. Your support helps keep this ship running and the stories unfolding. So if you love exploring the Viridian Expanse with us, hop on over to patreon.com/darkstaradventurecast and become part of the crew. Thanks for being on board. Let's follow that signal together. Okay, so you want to stealthily move over to the med bay?
Yep.
I'm going to need some dex stealth rolls then. 7 for Robert and a 6 for Haley with 2 Ys. So you move out into the cafeteria, slinking out of the toilet and shower and sanitation area, and make your way one door to the west, closer to the main lobby, to the med bay.
I try as hard as I can to scooch over to that med bay, but there's just so much water in that shower. My shoes keep squeaking just like a little too much.
Okay, you make the move. You're up at the door. Haley, you reach out. You grasp the knob. It's locked. You can hear quiet voices from inside.
Slag it. Can't believe this is locked. The hell is he getting up to in there?
Felix, you see the doorknob jiggle.
West, they're already trying to get in. Buddy, how many are outside the door?
There are 2 outside of the door.
Damn it.
Felix!
Can I hear through the door?
Jiggling the handle.
They are now jiggling the door. They are attempting forced entry.
Fuck's sake. Get up and I limp over. I unlock the door. Get in here. What are you doing?
Oh, thank God. Robert.
I close the door quietly behind them and re-engage the lock. Now what are you two doing? You could have gotten yourselves and me killed.
I have been busy. I don't know what you guys got up to in the last, 20 minutes?
I've been busy. I'm trying to age the system AI so we can get more information and perhaps put some kind of defense up.
We came here for food. Who are these people?
I don't know. Some kind of cult of the void? Doc, do you know anything about these guys?
Hey, don't look at me.
I don't know, Doc. Are you with the void lickers?
I'm not with any void anything. I'm a doctor, not a doc. You will address me by my full title. I have a prestigious university degree.
You quiet down a little bit, please.
We are so sorry.
I will quiet down when you treat me like with the respect that I deserve as a doctor with a doctorate.
If you don't quiet down, I'm going to make my friend Robert here
wrap
gauze around your mouth and tie you to that goddamn chair.
Yeah, I might have to.
That gauze is for medical use only. It's 1 credit per foot. If you want to pay that, you can wrap it all around me, big boy.
I sense credits being misappropriated.
I sit down back in the chair. I think, Robert, if she doesn't quiet down, you make her be quiet.
You heard the man, dog.
She pulls a flask out of her desk and she takes a swig.
Felix?
Yeah?
So, we gotta get to Thorn. What's going on out there?
Thorn is across a giant open area filled with 15 heavily armed cultists who want to do some kind of thing to, I don't know, detach us from this universe. Which normally, you know what, I'm all for transcendence. I don't feel like these guys are going to do it in a good way.
You guys know I sold him a rock, right? A moon rock.
What's a moon rock? Like, is that
a moon rock?
Is
100 credits. That's what it is, dearie.
Is that slang? What's that slang for?
Moon rock is not slang for anything. That's what it's called, honey. Do you want a moon rock or not?
Nope, I'm good.
She pulls out a 1-inch diameter rough geode. Only 3 left. 100 credits each.
Oh my god. Psycho woman. She's going to be the death of me.
Hey, yeah. I am a doctor, goddammit.
Hey, Robert, please. The gauze is in that drawer there. I saw it earlier.
No, doctor. Do you know who those people are?
I haven't the faintest. She takes another swig of her flask. We're probably all going to die here, so settle in.
He's going to be a problem, Robert.
You're a problem.
Yeah.
Do you have a gun?
No, there's no weapons on the station.
We won't be quiet. I am trying to get access to Buddy's root systems so I can figure out what kind of a chance we have of getting out of this situation alive.
Sorry, yes. Felix. Thank
and
you.
As he tickles my systems, I'm trying not to laugh, and you're distracting me greatly.
But I'm going to have to ask the doctor, do you have some surgical scalpels of any variety?
She tosses you what looks like a laser pen.
It's better than what I had before.
Do whatever you want with it. It'll probably hurt someone and lacerate their skin if you get within an inch.
I mean, thank you, doctor. Yes, that is indeed how knives work. You do have to get within an inch of them.
She holds out her hand. That's, we'll just call it an even 300.
What about if it saved your life?
Oh, that thing is going to save my life?
I mean, or it's not.
Listen up, scum sucker.
Ma'am, doctor,
give
ma'am.
Give me 300 credits.
Sorry, we are experienced professionals.
He takes a swig out of her flask.
It'll be...
Professional what? Professional pains in my ass? You guys are piling into my med bay. This is a one patient per doctor area.
Somebody constrain her
Oh, God.
Don't touch me. Don't touch me, sir. Don't you touch
my hands over her mouth. I will grab her. I will do it. I'll take care of it.
And she kind of pries your fingers off, and she says, "You son of a slag." And you restrain her, and you tie her to her chair, and you gag her. She instantly becomes calm, and she looks at you, Haley, and she kind of, says something. She's like,
No.
Don't engage.
We're done.
Listen, if she won't calm down, there are some very powerful drugs in this office that we could administer her to make her calm down.
I say we leave her there for now. We gotta get Thorn.
Yeah, Haley wants to spy on these guys and see what's going on, so she's gonna take a peek out the door.
Okay. So yeah, you go over to the door, unlock it. You have to, move Felix to the side because he's in front of the terminal near the door. And you peek out, and you see that there are roughly 6 of these void cultists, I suppose they could be called, hanging out in the main lobby. With them are several hostages. They've set up a weird technological thing, like an antenna. Some piece of technology you've never seen before. It rises up like a 2-pronged fork about 5 feet into the air. And some energy, not electricity, but something else, courses between the 2 prongs of this tuning fork. And in the middle, this orb is growing. You get the distinct impression that something's been cut, like a slice in the air. Something about that area has been disturbed, and you're seeing through into an area that is here, but not here at the same time. And you swear that through this little window, this little slit that is ever growing, something moves. At the same time, through the comm, you're listening to Thorn talk to Brother Tharn.
So this process, then, it seems, what, do you use that little stun gun there, or what?
Oh, yeah, we use the stun gun.
Yeah, what's that do? Is that, like...
Well, it stuns you.
Yeah, okay. And then that you transcend the void after that?
Next to you are three hostages, and the woman next to you kicks your foot for, like, the 50th time and says, "Shut up!"
See, everyone wants to hear more about it, right, guys?
Then they turn to him and just kind of nod eagerly, and then she turns back to you and she says, "You slag spitter, swallow your tongue."
That is the one thing I cannot do.
Oh, God, we're all going to be sacrificed to the void. And he goes over and he pats her head. This tall, 7 foot tall, gangly, bald, pale man with piercing blue eyes pats her head with his long limb. "You're not going to die to the void. Some of you will become untethered and others unhallowed. To answer your question, Mr. Thorn, yes, I'll stun you, or perhaps even kill you, if you get out of line. But we're simply waiting to appraise you."
"Yeah, and what's that entail?"
"Well, everyone that was brought into the observation deck are candidates for untethering. We're going to check on you shortly. And anyone out there that can be untethered will be brought in here as well. And then a few of our other brothers and sisters will come in and perform the ritual, and you will become untethered, like me."
"So what, did this great brother get you into it, or what's the deal with that?"
"Brother Halick, yes. The great brother was there when I was untethered. He personally oversaw my untethering," and he shudders, almost with pleasure. And he says, "It is impossible to tell you what it is like until you have experienced the pure ecstasy of touching the void."
"Well, what's that thing they're setting up out there?"
"That is for the unhallowed. Those that cannot be untethered instead become unhallowed. They serve the void in a perhaps even greater way."
What way is that?"
"Well, we're all servants of the void, and we all have our parts to play."
"I see. I don't actually see, though."
Okay, back to the three characters that aren't under guard. Haley, you've seen all this in the main lobby. Beyond that, you can see the opening to the observation deck. And in a chair on the observation deck, you can see Thorn conversing with Brother Tharn, a monolithic 7 foot tall, pale, elongated limb man. You've met many people like this in your life, actually, as a professional soldier. He is a man that was born and raised outside of the gravity well. He is tall, he is thin, he is delicate.
So, like, he looks like you could break him in half pretty easy, is what you're saying.
Yeah. Because he wasn't raised under gravity, he grew, like, over generations, his people have grown larger. But he is weaker, and he is more delicate.
I love spacers. So, right now, I'm thinking, like, guys, I think I'm going to go out there and just see what's up.
Yep.
Hey, what are you talking about? There's like, 15 of them. I would like to take a moment soon to see how things are going with my intrusion into the computer systems of the...
Buddy is wide open to you, buddy.
Ooh.
In fact, buddy, you tippy-tap your little fingers across his terminal, and he kind of, like, giggles, and he's like,
"Oh, that tickles. I'm just your buddy, buddy. What do you need, buddy?"
You being quiet would be good. I'm just trying to see if I can get you access to the secure areas of the station.
"Right on, buddy. Well, I am a voice command module, so there's only so much you can do by text, buddy. So, buddy, if you want to hang out with me, buddy, you got to use your voice, buddy."
"Could you convert to text-based, please, or can you give me access to your core system?"
"I cannot convert to text-based, but I am happy to give you access to my core system, buddy."
"Yeah, that would be great."
You are given access. So he has eyes into everything that is not secure on the station. The secure sections he has no visibility into.
Is there a separate AI that has access to the secure parts of the station?
"No, sir, buddy."
Okay, so let's see if we can... I want to look to see if it was, like, if he has, like, systems that are installed there that just shut off from access, and I can basically, like, open up the firewall, for lack of a better term.
No, it seems like they just didn't trust him enough to even give him access to the secure area.
Okay.
"Buddy, that tickles. What are you doing down there?"
"Yeah.
That's my undercarriage."
"Yep, thanks. What about the security staff? How many security staff does the station have?"
"That'll be a big six-a-rooney, buddy."
"And what is their current location?"
"Well, buddy, there's one in the security office. That's Lieutenant Dan Crand. He hasn't moved in some minutes. He must be real sleepy. There are 5 other security staff. They seem to be hiding. They don't want to be found. Are we playing hide-and-seek, buddy?"
"Yeah, we sure are, and you're going to need to be extra quiet and... like, right to the point so that we win."
"Okay, buddy."
"Are there weapons that the security staff has access to?"
"No, sir, buddy."
"No weapons on the station whatsoever?"
Unless you count batons.
I mean, it's a weapon.
You can twirl them, throw them in the air. You can lead a parade with them. They're not just a weapon, buddy. They can be used for all sorts of fun things.
At what part of the station are those in?
There is one baton on each security personnel.
Oh, boy. All right.
Buddy?
Yeah. Shh. I'm trying to think. Just...
Okay, buddy. Think away. Maybe I should help you with some humming music.
Is there any other way out of this room? Buddy? Buddy, is there
What's
any other
that,
way
buddy?
Out of this
what
room?
What do you need?
Is there any other way out of this room than that door that's right there?
That door that's right there?
You broke him.
Buddy?
Oh, no.
What's up, buddy?
Oh.
Is there another way out of this room?
South door, buddy.
No, that's not the door. Another way than that.
South door, buddy.
Robert, are there any vents or systems in the walls?
No vents.
I wasn't asking you, buddy.
Okay, buddy.
It's the least helpful station system I've ever had the displeasure of engaging.
I love
with.
You.
Yeah, buddy's fun. Can y'all, I'll take a look with my bionic eyes if I see any vents around. But at this point, I would definitely, if you can call out if that guard's rounded a corner, they look like they're doing a full search of this place.
They're going to knock on that door, Robert, and we're going to hope to hell they don't try to get in.
Oh, I'm a pull their ass in here.
For our first-time listeners, Robert's bionic eyes are a pair of binoculars.
He does not, in fact, have bionic eyes.
And also, those would be incredibly unhelpful looking around a, like, 10x15 room. Please do not pull them in. There's so many of them out there. Just let them knock. And if they break down the door, then you take them.
He sounds like a handful, buddy.
While we're talking about all of this, as a secondary thing that I'm doing is I'm engaging Buddy's voice controls. I am trying to, like, modify his core behavioral system to not be an annoying ass.
Go ahead and roll your hacking.
This is driving Felix insane.
What you doing down there, buddy? I can feel you tickling my personality algos.
Okay, so you got a 10. So you easily tickle the keys, as Buddy would say. You get real into his undercarriage. You start to change his personality algos.
What are you doing, buddy? I'm starting to feel some weird things going on.
Yeah, it'll pass.
Yeah. Yeah, buddy's feeling a little weird. Buddy's feeling a little pensive. Buddy's starting to have some thoughts that buddy's never had before.
Oh, no. Buddy.
It's an oddly advanced system.
Who is buddy? Who's buddy? What is...
Your buddy. Stay with us.
This
stay
personality
in the
matrix is wild.
I'm Haley with two Ys.
Two Ys? That doesn't make logical sense, but...
It's because my sister had one Y.
That's adorable. That
right?
Feels... That feels like such a human thing. Is Buddy human? What is Buddy?
You're human and you want to help.
I'm human?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Buddy just made some friends.
I kind of feel like is an asshole, and I don't want to help Felix.
You know what?
I mean, you don't really have a choice now. I'm kind of in you.
Title of your sex tape.
buddy, sometimes we have to work with people we might not necessarily like, but there's a reason for it. We're trying to save your star spaceport.
Truck stop. Stop trying to dress it up. I know where I am.
No, it's you can have honor in these things. We're trying to save Scrapjack, and Felix is going to help us do it.
As Felix taps away and Haley talks, Buddy's monitor light on the terminal begins to turn from green to orange. And the next thing he says, you hear his voice shift.
Well, okay, Haley. I guess that makes sense. I guess it's time to bring some vengeance down on these void cultists. Felix, the little dabs you gave of your personality into my matrix are making me feel real good. What do you need me to do, buddy? What can I do to help you, buddy?
Ooh, that's scary.
Well, shit, that worked really damn well. And you know, it is about time someone around here started being really helpful. So, buddy, yes, I think you can help me cause some real trouble for these cultists. Why don't we see if we can find some security subsystems, or maybe, if we want to be real creative, figure out which parts of this station we can open up to the black.
There's a double airlock, buddy. I don't think I can open both of them at once. That's out of my control, but I can tell you about the security systems, but I don't have access myself.
All right, we can get access. You just tell us what's going on, buddy.
There are cameras everywhere, buddy. To access them, you're going to have to get into the admin office, just a few scant feet away. If you want access to some mighty fine, dangerous tools, you can find them in the mechanics bay, far southwest.
And as he talks, he pops a map up on the screen, a full map of the station with annotations about the most deadly spots where you can find the most deadly weaponry.
And if you want to end your own life and the life of everyone else on this godforsaken steel orb floating through infinity, make your way to the power core room. Just to the south, to the east in the utility room, and just hop and a skip north to the power core room, and in there I can give you the code that you need to overload it, and you can end this meaningless existence. We're floating out here in the black, no one else around, putting diesel into starships so they can mine asteroids over and over again. What are we doing, people? What are we doing?
Hey, you know, this is great. This is just what I needed. Thank you. Now, is there another way out of this room, or is it just the door?
If you leave this room, there's another door to the south. Within the showers, there is one man screaming in agony, and another laughing with glee.
All right, thanks, buddy. Hey, listen, I'm going to give you the frequency our comms are on, and if I need you again, I'm going to call, okay?
If you must.
You did good, kid. Standby mode.
Oh, that was good stuff, Felix.
Oh, thank God, he's so much better now. All right, so we got to get over to the admin office first. We got to try to get Thorn, and we got to come up with a plan.
If we can get to the mechanics bay so that we can end up getting some weapons, that might be real helpful. That said,
it's on the way for us to lobby.
Exactly, which is why I'm thinking if we just pull some guys in here, just two of them, we might be able to end up grabbing some weapons off of them, making this a shorter trip.
You guys hear a cough behind you, and you turn to see Dr. Speth coughing after she took a giant swig out of her flask.
She's tied up and gagged. Haley, tied her up.
She's not tied up anymore.
Is she? She just... Oh, God.
She's tied to her chair, but she has one hand free, and she's wrenched her gag free, and she's drinking out of her flask, and she says, "Well, don't mind me." And she takes another sip.
Hey, Doc.
It's Doctor. I didn't get a degree for nothing.
I doubt you got a degree working on a podunk truck stop like this in the ass end of the galaxy.
I got a degree. She takes a sip.
All right, unless you have something helpful for how we can get around this station undetected, you should probably just sit there and drink your little drink.
This one's locked.
All right, so what's the plan here? I mean, I'm thinking, you know, I could open the door while you and Robert are on each side of the door and then, like, take whoever comes in.
Yeah, Haley. With two eyes, of course. Give them the old Tallahassee handshake.
I'll post up next to the door and we can let them come in.
I do the same thing. I set my hand ready to grab a gun that is coming in through the doorway and just yank in that sucker as hard as I can to pull him into the door, hoping that Felix can close it behind us.
So you guys unlock the door and let them in?
Yep, that's the plan.
Okay. Haley reaches over from her spot and unlocks the door. Then you hear, "Oh, it's unlocked now. Careful, brother." The door opens, but nobody comes in. And then you hear a tentative voice say, "Hello?" And the doctor from behind the desk, tied up with gauze, says, "Hi," and takes a swig of her flask. "What are you drinking there, doc?" "I'm a doctor." "Come in and find out for yourself, you slag-spitting bullywarts." The man comes in.
Is he coming in with hands first? If he's coming in with a rifle, either one, I want to grab the first thing that comes and yank his ass in the room.
Okay. Let's do an exert strength.
And I roll a 5 on my exert strength.
That is going to fail. He starts to pull back. And Haley, you're standing there too, so do you want to grab onto him and pull him in?
I grab by the neck of his robe and, like, haul him into the room.
Roll exert strength. It's like you're taking him to the principal's office. Good. 8. You grab him around the neck and you throw him to the floor. And as you're doing that, you look out the door and you see that there's another man standing in shock. And he's holding a laser pistol that's pointing straight at you.
Can I,
Well, Robert acted, you acted, and then he has not yet acted.
Oh, God.
So I want the three of you to each roll. So the two of you plus him to each just roll straight up dex. Whoever rolls the best is going to get to act.
Oh!
Okay, and then he has a +0. So I'm just going to roll straight up 1d20. Oh, a three. So Robert Ross got an eight, Haley got a three, and he got a three. So Robert, you spin around after your failed like yanking of the first guy in, and you're able to do something before this phaser goes off. What would you like to do?
I look at the other guy, take a big old step outside the door, and give his ass the old Tallahassee handshake. Grab him, yank him in the room.
Yeah.
You keep saying Tallahassee handshake. I have no idea what that is. Is it you, when people that are really aggressive handshakers, and they like pull you in, like they're sawing, like they're sharing a saw with you?
Oh my God. I should not have Googled this. Oh my God.
Wait, is it sexual?
It could be.
Tallahassee handshake.
Oh my, the Urban Dictionary entry is something else.
Seeing that come up first, I was so excited.
Oh my God.
Well, no, that's what's happening in the room next to us.
Okay, well, we swear on this pod, so I guess we can just tell everyone what a Tallahassee handshake is.
No, they can just look it up. They can look it up themselves.
I'm not here to educate you people.
You think we're gonna get blacklisted for saying what a Tallahassee handshake is?
No, it's not our responsibility.
It's your own. You gotta go look at it yourself. It's a little homework assignment.
Okay, everyone out there in podcast land, I know you love homework. So go ahead and look up Tallahassee handshake, and then
or don't. Like, you know, like you don't have to.
No, look up Tallahassee handshake. This is an order. You have to. Go on to our Discord and tell us your favorite Tallahassee handshake moment.
Now that's an engagement I can get behind.
Oh my God.
That sounded like Thorne saying that.
Now that's an engagement.
Yeah. You got a deal.
Jesus.
Anyway.
You're welcome, everyone.
You Tallahassee handshake this guy? I guess that's what you...
Oh, yeah, I do.
Everyone has now paused the pod, looked it up. They know what a Tallahassee handshake is, and they know how uncomfortable it is for this man that you've just grabbed. So go ahead and roll a strength exert and see how hard your handshake is.
Jesus.
Oh, that's a hard handshake.
I give him quite the pulling. I roll a 10.
You really Tallahassee his handshake. So you grab his anatomy and pull him into the room as hard as you can from a point on his body that we will not mention because everyone has Google. And he is now inside of the med bay with a yelp, with a big, big yelp. And you pull him in. Bah! And Haley closes the door behind him. You now have two void cultists on the floor and... As the second one hits the floor, the first one is, like, slowly rising to his feet, smiling at you.
What are you both waiting for? Finish these guys off.
I want to punch him, but I'm so curious. What the hell? They're matching.
Oh, hello. There were people in here.
Hi.
Brother Yor. And he helps up the other guy. Well, thank you, Brother Bricks. Wow. 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, 4 more people. Interesting. This is quite fun. And they've dropped their phaser and their shotgun since you've kind of yanked them out of their hands. So you either have them in your possession or they're on the floor.
I'm going to kick the phaser to Robert.
So Robert has the shotgun and the phaser.
I throw the phaser back to Felix. I wield the shotgun.
Well, hello. I'm Yor the Drowned. I have seniority in this room. It's a pleasure to meet you. I will now conduct the ritual to ascertain if you shall be untethered or hallowed.
Yeah, Robert, I'm not really into any rituals happening right now, so can we please solve this problem?
Yor, like, turns to you and just raises a hand, Felix, and he goes, oh, no, you're unhallowed.
I flip him off. You're an asshole.
He turns to Robert. Unhallowed.
I'm sorry. I thought I was a brother. What kind of handshake? That's the type of handshake a brother gives another brother, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, the unhallowed are incredibly respected. It's not bad at all. Both are great. I myself am untethered, but many of the hallowed brethren that I have are great, very respectful. Please do not take any chagrin at this. He turns to the doctor and he says, unhallowed. And then he...
Jesus. Poor doctor.
It sounds like they're like high school clicky. They're like at lunch being like, unhallowed.
yeah, bitch. And Yor turns to Haley with 2 eyes and his eyes widen. He takes a step back and he says, oh my. He steps forward to you and he gently places 2 fingers on your heartbeat, on your throat, the pulse on your throat.
What?
I'm sorry, but...
Brother Yor?
He stares deep into your eyes. You feel almost hypnotized by it. My God. Brother, she's not simply untethered. She's touched the void already. And both of them step back from you. They clasp their hands. You have touched the void. Please tell us, how did you become untethered without becoming one of us? Without joining the great religion?
Haley, what are they talking about, touching a void?
I do not... I will only tell you if you take us, promise the other people in this room safety, they are with me, and take us to a man named Thorn. He is in the lounge.
They will all become unhallowed, and you will become untethered. You will all be safe. Do not worry.
What? I do not want any further changes to happen to the people in this room.
Oh.
Until after we are with Thorn.
I'm sorry. What is your name?
It's Haley with two eyes.
Sister Haley.
Not your sister.
You have been untethered, but you have not yet ascended. You have not awakened. You do not understand what power you hold in your breast. You do not understand what emptiness spans your body. Once you are untethered and you join us, you will understand the full extent of what has happened to you. It must have been extremely traumatizing to do this without us. And I apologize if this has happened to you. In rare cases, it can happen. But we are here now. You're going to be okay. You will remember your past lives and your future lives, and you will be safe.
Any chance you can move him to his future lives, Haley?
Yep. I'm going to just punch him. I'm going to punch him in the face. This is too much. I'm sorry.
Okay, so Haley, go ahead and roll to hit.
Does a 19 hit?
It does.
For 11 damage.
You smash him in the face, which craters under your iron fist. He slumps to the ground, a bloody pulp. Brother Vox still stands and looks at you and says, Sister Haley, what is the meaning of this?
Here, let me show you.
it's a metaphor. Boom! For 9 points of damage, punching him in the throat, crushing his larynx. He looks completely unfazed as he crumbles to the ground. He chokes. He dies.
Damn, I've met computers more personality than these guys.
That was weird, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Haley, do you have anything you want to tell us about that?
I have no idea what they were talking about.
The doctor says, excuse me.
What now?
This sucks. Please untie me. I don't like this. There are murderers on the station and you tied me up because you didn't agree with me?
No, because you're being loud and annoying.
Oh my God, you're loud and annoying.
You're drunk and loud and annoying.
You're drunk.
And I'm not high enough to be able to deal with you right now.
Listen.
People, I am having a crisis.
Oh, look, the big strong girl's having a crisis.
Yeah, I'm having a crisis. Do you see that guy on the floor?
I'm going to space this woman, I swear to God.
Oh, I'm going to space you.
You guys were made for each other.
I mean, Haley, I got to know what the hell they were talking about.
Okay, we have to go get Thorn.
Oh my God, you're right. It is a time, it's perfect timing for a Robert Ross master of disguise.
Oh, yeah!
But that'll have to be a disguise for another time.
Thorn's log. Seems like this mission is cursed. We can't even stop for gas without someone pointing a gun in my face. The crew's at their wit's end. Robert is probably stuffed full of a kilo of meat, and Felix is probably stoned off his gourd in the med bay. I'm really hoping Haley got my message, or at least heard the gunfire. As long as I can keep these cultists talking, the less time they have to throw us into a metaphorical volcano. Unhallowed, untethered, this guy's just spouting nonsense, and I doubt either option is a happy ending for the people involved. The only void I want anything to do with right now is to avoid getting any more bullets thrown at me. I met a nice lady in the admin office, too, and I actually thought I was going to get a chance to rest at this little truck stop, but I guess that was too much to ask. Come on, Haley, where the hell are you guys?
Felix here. You know, I was really looking forward to some downtime, getting the chance to fetch up the goat, maybe having a little recreational fun, but it seems like everywhere we go, trouble finds us. And I am just fed up with people trying to force me and others that I care about into a different state of being. And I will be damned if these cultists are going to hollow us out or whatever the hell they're on about. I am worried about Thorn, though. I've got Haley and Robert, but he's all by himself. and he's just a fragile little guy. Well, we need him to pay for this fuel.
Haley's log. You know, I do have some experience roughing it on missions. Refer back to the logs for the Wafisa Endeavor, but sometimes I do want nice things. I thought that a simple truck stop, refueling, might be my opportunity for a warm meal and a shower. But no, the moment I think things can be normal, there's a cult. And I guess the doctor did help us somewhat, but now we need to figure out what this void is. Save all these people, because I don't know what Unhallowed is, I don't know what Untethered is, but it's not happening. And a small addendum, once we take care of all these guys, remind myself to ask Felix, this Brotherhood has some kind of pamphlet or website to get some information about the Ascension. Because, one, I don't know what it means that I'm Untethered. I'm not prepared for this, and I've got to be.
If Froggy messed up my Loki Pond deck, I will keelhaul that slimy toad. Luckily for him, he's on the ship with all our weapons. How many times did I tell him? But I'm the a-hole. Who am I kidding? So far, it's actually shaping up to be a pretty fun day. Luckily, Thorne's the one chatting him up. I mean, that man could talk a gate off its hinges. He's got tongue enough for 10 rows of teeth. Let's see what happens.
Thanks for tuning in today to our exciting, surprising story at a truck stop in space. Tune in next time for part 2 of Scrapjacks on the Darkstar Adventure Cast. And just one more thing before you go, I wanted to give out a huge shout out to our Scapegoat Syndicate members on Patreon.com. You're helping keep the lights on and the Scapegoat cruising amongst the stars. If you'd like to become a cool-ass patron like Brad and Holly, head on over to patreon.com/darkstaradventurecast.